sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world, like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Well, hi, everyone. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to another episode of Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And this segment of the show is brought to you by Zestra, a wonderful female enhancement product, which I've been using lately and have been finding some very interesting stimulation points. So you'll hear a little bit more about that as the show goes on. Today, I pose you with something really interesting and exciting. If you should choose to take this challenge, I don't know if you're in a situation to take this challenge, but here's what it is. Do you think it's possible to find love in the sex personals? Or do you think it's too taboo? Is it possible? My guests today actually found true love in the sex personals. They impressed me so much with their story that I felt I had to share it with you. So just sit back because this is going to be a really good ride. I promise. I want to introduce you, Maria Totino and Jean Zucca. They are two people who will tell their story and who are madly in love for all intents and purposes, and they never, ever expected that that would happen from answering a sex personal. So without further ado, we're getting right into it. So, Jean, I'm going to talk to you first because you are the person who put the sex personal in. I think you put it on Craigslist. I don't know, but what moved you to do that, and how long was it running, and how much did you think that was going to, you know, what kind of difference did you think it was going to make in your life?
Actually, not really a huge difference. I did put it on Craigslist because I didn't want to get involved with having to put up a big profile and make a big story about myself. And I had started running it, and I was looking basically for a woman that I thought would be attached. I directed it at women who were married or with boyfriends because I figured that way there was no chance that they were going to get too involved with me. As a matter of fact, the ad said something along the lines of, "Disenchanted, is your man not taking care of your needs? I will," and so on and so forth. The ad,
wait a minute. You were looking for someone who didn't really want a full-time commitment with you, but wanted a little something-something on the side?
Exactly.
And, Gene, yeah. What's your story? I mean, you had had enough in relationships. You were tired of that kind of a thing. I mean, what moved you to just go there, like to limit it to strictly sex?
I've been married a few times, and I've had many girlfriends over the years, and I really was not pleased with what I've experienced in full-time committed relationships. And I had not been in a relationship for about 4 years, and I was very content with where my life stood, and I did not want that in any way disturbed. I thought, okay, but the only thing that was lacking was a regular person to have some fun with. So that's what motivated me to go that route.
How long did you have that ad in Craigslist?
Interestingly enough, I had that ad in Craigslist for about 3 months. I don't know if anybody who's ever put an ad in Craigslist knows you get a lot of what they call bots. I kept getting responses from people that would send me a link that they wanted me to go to, and basically it was another sex type of website. I had it on for about a month, and I did get one live candidate who sent some pictures, and they were somewhat obscure, and I went to meet her, and she just wasn't quite what I was looking to get physically involved with. I'm kind of particular. And so that didn't happen. And I stopped. I didn't run the ad for a few weeks. But I said, let me try it again. And so I did it again, and it's still nothing. It had been about 3 months, and I had had no success. I had basically come to the point where I was thinking, I'm tired of running this ad. I keep getting my emails keep getting flooded with this garbage. And it was, oddly enough, I don't know what it was. I had not run it for about 2 to 3 weeks. And on my birthday, I said to myself, you know what? Let me give it one more shot. I'm going to try. I'll put it in one more time.
Okay, and I put stop it, right there, because I know what's going to happen next, but I want to give Maria a chance to talk about her experience with answering these personal ads and what happened. Then we'll come into what happened when you ran the ad on your birthday. It's like buying a lottery ticket, I think. Yeah. I wanted to say also for everyone listening, I met Jean and Maria at Hedonism. You've been hearing on my shows every single week something about the Erotica Film Festival and Hedonism 2 Resort in Jamaica. And once again, this is another plug for Hedonism 2. This is where I met these two people. So I'm in the pool, the naked pool, and I hear this lovely woman speaking about an experience that she had. I have no idea who they are. I'm just standing there. I'm kind of by myself having a drink. And I hear Maria's voice. So, Maria, welcome to the show. And please tell us your version of what happened next.
Well, thank you so much for having us. And, Lori, you are a gem that we found in Hedonism also. So I'm so internally grateful for that. I was married a couple of times also with a husband who was very adoring and loving, but we were together for almost 27 years, and we became more friends than lovers, and my sexual appetite was going in a different way.
When did you feel that your friendship and your non-sexuality began? Like, how many years into the 27 would you say?
I would say the last 5 to 6 years together were like that. And I tried not to pay attention to it and thought, well, you know, we've been together for so long, this is normal. But something inside me just, I wanted more. And I made all kinds of suggestions, you know, to my ex-husband.
Like what? What did
toys? Oh, I bought toys. I suggested websites. I suggested let's watch porn. I mean, everything, but there was no response there. So I wanted to know if I was even sexually attractive anymore and if I could possibly have the big O orgasm with a man and not just with my vibrator, because it wasn't happening at home.
You know, there's probably thousands upon thousands, maybe millions of people, hopefully they're all listening, who find themselves in the same situation and just resign themselves. So you did something different.
I did, and it took a lot, and it took a very, very good friend of mine that was a very good friend of my ex-husband also, and he just said to me, he says, you know what? You just need to go find something, do something different. And because I travel a lot, he suggested, well, you know, do it when you're out of town. And I couldn't bring myself to it at that point. But what happened was, is I got to the point where I thought, you know, this is, I would turn in my bed and cry myself to sleep at night. And that wasn't fair to me, and it surely wasn't fair to him either. He's a very awesome, awesome man, and is in a relationship now with someone that he adores. So things do happen for a reason if you have the courage to do something about it, if you feel that it's that important to you. So in any case, my friend suggested, okay, well then, why don't you go on Craigslist? Go into the sex ad, and I did. And I saw Jean's ad a month before I even responded. And I responded to someone else's ad first. And I met this person, I met this man at a Starbucks, and to tell you that I almost turned around running, that would be an understatement. But in any case, that didn't work out. And then I went back and searched for Gene's ad because of what he said. You know, no strings attached. He can fulfill. His words were perfect. They hit the chord. And I finally found it. And I responded, and he asked for pictures. And I saw his picture, which frankly scared me because he looked really mean in the picture. So we met.
He's not mean. He's not a mean man. He's a sweet, sweet man. Go ahead.
He is sweet, and he is a gem. And I can't. I am just such a happy person. But I did answer his ad, and then you know the whole thing about, oh my God, I'm going to go see someone in Craigslist. Well, I was very careful. I gave my friend, he had my phone number. I says, okay, I'm now going to go inside and I'm going to meet him. We met at a Starbucks also. And then I will call you when I'm done so that you know the beginning and the end of this meeting.
Hold on a second. I want to just stop you because in a moment we have to take a break. And I want everybody who's listening to be on the edge of their chair about what then happened. After you went to the Starbucks and you met Gene. So we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, my question to you is going to be, tell us what happened, Maria. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness, a program about sex and happiness. And I want you to know that I'm talking to two of the sexiest, happiest people that I've ever met. And they met from a sex personal on Craigslist. And if you're going, oh, my God, or how can that be? You need to rethink this right now. When we come back, they're going to tell more of their story, and I want you to see and experience how moved I was, so we'll be right back.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Lori Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
We're back with Sex and Happiness, and today I'm interviewing Maria Totino and Gene Zucca. They are two people who met on a personal ad, but a special kind of personal ad, a sex personal. And Maria is in the hospitality industry, and Gene is a home improvement contractor. And they didn't know each other. They weren't introduced through anybody. They were introduced through Maria answering Gene's sex personal ad, no strings attached, on Craigslist. So, Maria, what happened? You told this friend of yours you were going into Starbucks. You told him when it would begin, when it would end. And then what happened when you met Gene?
Well, I walked through the door, and right away I knew that who I was looking at, because he said to me, I'll be the man in the black muffle shirt. And you have met him, so you know exactly how I probably reacted to that, to seeing him, because he is very, very sexy, very muscular. And so in any case, we sat down, he got a coffee, and I was too nervous. I didn't want anything to drink. We sat and we had small talk, and I felt the chemistry right away. I felt very comfortable having a conversation with him. It was almost like I knew him from somewhere before. And another thing that happened that was attractive to me in the ad was that he lived over an hour and 20 minutes away from me. So I thought, oh, I'm never going to run into him.
So you would be safe, like if you didn't like him or if you just had one time, if you had a one time kind of one afternoon stand with him, you wouldn't run into him like in your neighborhood.
Exactly. I would never see him at the gym, or I wouldn't see him at a restaurant. I just wouldn't run into him. But that actually became very funny after a while because I ended up hopping on a train to go see him, and he would hop on the train to come see me, and it was, we couldn't.
You're skipping ahead now. You're saying that you were seeing each other, but you have to tell us what happened in the Starbucks date.
It was quite funny, actually. When she walked in the door, I could tell that who she was from the picture. The picture that she sent me in response to the email, she covered her face. Her hair was kind of halfway over her face, and the camera covered the other half of her face. But it was a very good picture of her body, and I said, this is very, she looks very, very good. And she, you know, it was basically a one-liner. I'm neglected, and my name is Isabella. So I thought, okay, this is great. Okay. So when she walked in the door, I smiled and said, Isabella. And she said, Jean. And I walked over and gave her a kiss on the cheek and asked her if she wanted a coffee. And we sat down having small talk and didn't realize the chemistry was that hot, because she was constantly looking at me kind of somewhat skeptical. And I did tell her, I did warn her. I said, I've got to let you know, I'm actually quite easy to like. And she gave me this look like she rolled her eyes, and that's a standing joke between us today. But we small talked for about 15, 20 minutes, but then I thought to myself, I'm just going to have to, I got to put this out there, because we're here because of why we're here. And we did small talk all evening. I can make I don't want to make this into a big production. I thought, well, let's meet for dinner later. I said, enough with the small talk. We're here. We know why we're both here. I'd really like to take you to a hotel right now if you're okay with it, because I think you're really hot. And she said, okay. And I was somewhat surprised, because I expected her to want me to take her out to dinner maybe again or something like that. Anyway, we looked up a hotel, Anthony, and it was actually, as it turned out, right across the street. And we called, and the guy gave us directions, but he gave us poor directions. We ended up driving up and down a main thoroughfare of Boca Raton looking for this Hampton Inn. We drove around for, I'd say, 10 to 15 minutes back and forth on the same street and could not find it. I was getting a little concerned that I thought she was just going to bail, and she actually did admit later that she said to me that if we hadn't found it on the last swing, she would have just drove on home. In any event, we found the Hampton Inn. She didn't want to be seen going in together, even though this was probably about 45 minutes from where she lives. She went in, I got the room, and, well, I was just very, very pleased with what I saw when we got in the room. She was much more than I ever expected physically, because that's all I was looking for at the time. I mean, you've seen her, and, I mean, she is, to me, she is just smoking hot. I was pinching myself. And I'm wondering the whole time, thinking, am I going to wake up from this dream and find myself with some other woman that does not look like this stunning woman that I'm with?
One of the things you said when we were in the pool at Hedonism, either the first or second day that we hung out together, because, of course, I loved hanging out with the two of you. You're so positive. Positive people. You looked at me. She swam away. I don't know if she was going to get a drink or something, and you said to me, I have to be the luckiest man here. And I mean, there were some smoking hot people at this resort, but when you looked at me and said that, I said, you know, so few men ever say that about the woman that they're with. Like, I'm the luckiest man here. Sometimes they even think it, but they don't, they would never say it to her. And you said that to me, and then when she came back, you said it to her, and I felt you to be so sensitive and in tune with what women want.
she says it to me all the time. At first, I didn't even know how to respond to how he was treating me and opening my door and constantly attending to me. And we've been together for, I actually moved in with Gene in January, so it'll almost be a year, and it's like it was still a brand new relationship, but it was like it was yesterday.
Yeah. Well, you two are really amazing. I mean, the odds of you meeting, most people would say, are, you know, weren't great, but you know what? My feeling about it is that you took a risk. You know, you were whatever you were, Maria, you were somewhat desperate. You know, you were looking on the ads and you had enough, and you took really a huge risk. And Gene, you were kind of going, well, whatever, no strings attached, like it's not going to matter if I find the love of my life. You weren't even looking for that. You didn't want that, didn't you say? No sleepovers and no all these stipulations you had, didn't you?
Rules that I set right from the very first day, because I did not want anything like what ended up happening. But that's because I didn't realize how good it could possibly be. It really turned out to be.
And we never did, so we go there.
No. It really turned out to be something very, very different. I mean, I set these rules, no sleepovers. I broke that rule very quickly. yeah, she got under my skin and was able to do that.
We broke many rules that we had set for each other. I, in my mind, said, okay, I know why I'm going to meet this man. I'm going because I want to try some hot sex. And so there's not going to be any kissing. I'm not, because that's just too personal. And I latched onto his mouth and couldn't let go. The chemistry was just, it was amazing. And then I thought, well, you know what? This will be okay if we can see each other maybe once every month and a half or two, whatever. It wasn't even a full week, and we already had our second meeting scheduled. And one of Gene's rules that he set for himself is there was going to be no overnight. And after, I think it was it our third meeting?
Yes.
Yeah, our third meeting, I said, well, I don't know what you think about this, but what do you think if I spend the night? And it was like no hesitation. Oh, right.
All right, so this is a really good point. So people do need boundaries. They need to know that they can say no to things, and they need to also know that people will respect their boundaries. So if Gene had said no, or if you had said no to something, but you still had this tremendous chemistry and attraction, you could have always said yes another time. It wouldn't have broken anyone's heart. You would have just been respected for the boundaries that you had. Once you have those boundaries, you can remove them whenever you feel to remove them, because you don't need them anymore. You just need the respect from the beginning.
Exactly. Right. That was a big thing that we did say to each other. First off, there's no need to pretend to be anything that we're not either. Since we weren't trying to impress each other with anything, I didn't make any illusions that I was a rich man driving, you know, Mercedes with a mansion, and she made no illusion to me that she was going to become the love of my life and do this, that, or the other. And we've kept it that way as far as the honesty thing since day one. We found that the honesty is really key. Although she was a little dishonest about the name thing, which that needs to come up at some point, because that's a very funny story.
That should come up now then, because we're almost out of time. And I want to make sure that if it's important to your story that we cover it, because I want people to know. I want to be honest with them, because I think that you two are so fine and wonderful and worth knowing, and I want people to know, you know, whatever it was that came up there.
Well, what it was obviously, you know, she was very smart about the way she went about doing this, about answering my ad, and I would recommend that to anybody else, anybody who's thinking about doing this. I mean, she did not give me her phone number until the third time that we met, and she actually gave me a fictitious, she calls it her bar name. She gave me a bar name of Isabella Falcone. So, you know, the first meeting, I left and said, good night, Isabella, I'll see you again. We'll talk. And sure enough, we emailed back and forth, and we met the second time about a week later, and she was still Isabella. And and the third time, when she actually came and spent the night, after we were laying in bed, no clothes on, she was actually laying on top of me, looking down at me, and she said to me, I'm sorry, I really have to tell you this. I've got to tell you this. I got to be honest with you about this one thing. And I'm worried that she's going to tell me that she's got some kind of contagious disease or something that's gonna scare me. But it did actually shock me. She goes, my name is not Isabella. My name is Maria. And I wish I could have seen my own face. Just she goes, I go, what?
It was quite funny, his reaction. I wish I would have had a camera to take a snapshot of it.
But, you know, that really is a minor. I mean, I'm not justifying lying at all, but that is a minor lie. I mean, it's really your name. It's not, you know, that you have STDs or that your husband
right.
knows where you're shacking up right now and that he's coming to kill you, you know, like, or whatever.
Right. It's actually necessary.
Well, I have to be careful. I wasn't looking for a relationship. I was looking for good sex, and I had to be careful, and that's why I used my bar name, Isabella Falcone. And it was quite funny. We kid about that now also.
It's really great, you two. You're lovely. People go to my Facebook page. They can see us together, the three of us together, if you go to Laurie Handlers on Facebook. You'll see these two amazing people that I met while in Jamaica. I think their story is incredible. I think it's definitely could be the subject of a short film, which, you know, I'm up to that. So we might be doing something about that. I don't know. But
that
you...
would be great.
I appreciate you two so much. I appreciate you for being so honest and sharing about your story because, first of all, it's a great one, and second of all, it's surprising. People do online dating. They don't have any qualms about that, but this is different. This was sex personals. You didn't expect to find your soulmate on sex personals, and you did, and it's just kind of... It's great. It's light. It's refreshing. It's exciting. And I really wanted the world to know about you. So thank you for agreeing to be my guest today.
Thank you so much for having us. And after 52 years of life, I am so, so, so happy.
That's great. You two are wonderful. Listen, everyone should know they work out together. They're like best buddies as well as hot for each other, and so you can't, it doesn't get any better than that, and this is how they met.
My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra is safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
For the next segment, I've invited Catherine Clark back to tell us more about aphrodisiacs and food. I've changed my diet since I had her on the show last time, and maybe you will too. She can tell you everything you need to know about how to turn yourself on with your food. We'll be right back.
This is Laurie Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness, the program about sex and happiness. So I have invited back to the show today my guest from an earlier show, Catherine Clark. Catherine is a registered nurse, and she's a Hippocrates Health Institute educator. And she gave me the greatest interview a while back about food as an aphrodisiac and food for vitality, foods, how we use foods. And I said at the time that I felt that the subject of food was more favorite to people even than sex. And I still feel that way. So I've invited Catherine back because she is an expert at food. And so, Catherine, it's great to have you back on Sex and Happiness.
Thank you, Laurie. It's good to be back with you.
Yeah, I want you to tell us more. I want to pick your brain for secrets of all these things, like more stuff about aphrodisiacs. I mean, I already started looking for fenugreek. I think it was fenugreek
yes.
that you said.
Yes, it was. Well, that's wonderful, Laurie. And when you find the fenugreek, rinse it off with some water and get rid of that water, and then cover it thoroughly with water so that the water is like an inch or so above the fenugreek seeds in your cup, and let it sit for about 6 hours, and then drain the water off and rinse them once again, and they'll start growing. And if you rinse them with cool water twice a day, they'll get little sprouts on them, and then you can eat them in your salads or eat them as a snack or add them to soups that you might be making. And at first, they have an unusual flavor, and they have that maple syrup-like smell, but you'll get used to them. And I don't believe I actually said it in the last exactly what it is, but they have a steroidal saffin diosygen and also trimethylamine, and those are sex hormone precursors. They're necessary for the synthesis of several of the sex hormones, and they also help your body with estrogenic effects. So it is actually an aphrodisiac food that directly affects your hormonal and your sex hormone system, which is pretty exciting.
Wow. Well, good. So, yeah, I'm going to find it, and I'm going to make those berry sprouts that you're talking about. So tell us some more. What else? You know, we talked about other things. In the last show, we talked about avocados. We talked about foods that look like various parts of the body. You were talking about figs. So what else can you tell us? Because I know there's a lot more out there, the aphrodisiac foods. Oh, yeah, we talked a lot about chocolate last time,
uh-huh.
too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, what I mentioned about chocolate is it has the phenylethylamine, which is the very same molecule that your brain makes when you're madly in love, PEA. And so that's one of the reasons that chocolate is linked to love and romance and even sex. I think chocolate's probably one of the more favorite foods that it can be used topically as an aphrodisiac as well and then licked off.
My kind of girl.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, probably one of the most, the opposite of the good-smelling maple syrup-smelling fenugreek, you know, or the deliciousness of chocolate is garlic. However, in spite of the smell, Dr. Mimic Oz, you know, our television doctor now, had a special on Discovery Health, and he told of a research of men with erectile dysfunction and the effects that a high garlic diet would have on them. And there are other studies showing, actually, that garlic has positive effects on the removal of arterial plaque. And so Dr. Oz wanted to put it to the test, and his results showed that eating 4 cloves of garlic a day for a couple of months have positive effects on erectile dysfunction.
No kidding.
Yeah, so it's really amazing. Some of these foods like garlic, which for ages has been considered not only a health food but an aphrodisiac in the Eastern spiritual traditions, you know, actually the monks and nuns and the sadhus were advised to avoid it religiously, and they called it a black tantra food. It's supposed to, because of its increasing the passion and sexual energy in the body.
We need to give that a little bit of explanation so that people know what we're talking about when you say black tantra. But before you do that, I just want to say that I have known some people in my life who follow the tradition of Hare Krishna, and they don't eat garlic unless it's for medicinal purposes. That's one of the very first things they told me. Garlic is not in their diet. They cook no foods with garlic, only if somebody is ill. So I just, you know, I don't know what that has to do with anything, but it just occurred for me when you were saying that. When we talk about the path of black tantra, that's like the tantra where there's spell casting, and that's like the ultimate in sex magic, even where people are worshiping the dead and things like that. So it's very, for a lot of people in Hindu cultures, that's like scary. That's a scary tradition. I just wanted to say that. I would say that in the West, when people are studying tantra to enhance their intimacy skills, they're probably not doing much black tantra. No. They're more doing red, and I call it pink tantra, the kind where feel good, and that's what it's producing. So garlic.
Yeah.
I love that, though. I'm so glad that you talked about that with Dr. Oz, that garlic could replace Viagra.
Yes. It's absolutely amazing. And yeah, I just attended a gathering, and they had 2 food lines, and the 1 food line was garlic-free. So it is interesting how this information about garlic is starting to enter into the American culture as well. And it's also interesting that most of us love garlic so much.
Mm, I love garlic so much, but it doesn't love me so much.
Aww. Well, another spice that is used extensively in the East is ginger root. Not as many Americans know about ginger root, but ginger root is available to be used in a variety of ways. You can use just a little bit of it to spice up a soup or a dish, or you can use it as a marinade with a little shoyu or tamari or soy sauce and ginger, or you can put it in hot water and have it as a tea. There's a variety of ways to use ginger, but it turns out that it's a circulatory system enhancer. And circulation is very important to sexual arousal and sexual pleasure, because you need to have good circulation in your sexual system so that you can increase your sexual power and your desire. But just like hot peppers, ginger really spices things up in that department. In fact, one of the famous French courtesans, Madame du Barry, provided ginger to all of her lovers, it said, to increase their desire and improve their pleasure.
Wow. So how did she serve it up, do you know?
I believe she served it up as a tea.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that people have heard of. I mean, people know about ginger root. They certainly eat it in Chinese food and in Thai food and things like that. So they may not have brought it into their own kitchen yet.
Japan, you know, you have the pickled ginger when you eat sushi. When you go to the Japanese restaurant, they give you those little pink slices of ginger.
Mm-hmm.
Two, this time of year, certainly out here in Oregon where I am now, raspberries and strawberries are perfect aphrodisiac foods. Their red color is very much associated with love and passion, and they're very high in vitamin C and other phytonutrients. They're very light foods. They could definitely be used in a ritualistic way as a preliminary or foreplay to love making.
And so they are in my rituals and my courses. They're definitely, and served with chocolate. I want to ask you about, because you were talking about ginger and garlic, I want to ask you about horseradish and that other thing in the Japanese, in the sushi restaurants, the green stuff.
Oh, the wasabi.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh. Well, the horseradish is, and the wasabi is a special kind of horseradish. A radish is a root vegetable. You know, it comes out of the ground, and horseradish actually is the root of a tree. It will grow up very, very tall, and it has that spicy feeling to it. So it heats up your mouth, so it would be very warming, and warming foods like that do have a positive effect on your circulation. So now you're sort of extemporizing or reaching out and saying, well, would horseradish have a similar effect as ginger? And I believe it would.
Mm. Yeah, just came to me when you were talking about those other foods. Well, we're going to take a short break here. And when we come back, I'm going to ask you even more. I actually had the idea, I'll just leave you with this before we break, had the idea for you to be a regular feature on the show and just come in and give some kind of a aphrodisiac recipe each time. But I'll leave everyone with that, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers. My guest today is Catherine Clark, who is just phenomenally well-educated on how foods affect the body. And I like picking her brain about how they affect the body as far as aphrodisiacs go. So please stay tuned. There's more.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Laurie talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Laurie's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Laurie is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Laurie sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Laurie Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Since we're on the subject of food as an aphrodisiac, I feel I should tell you about what's on my mind. For weeks now, you've been hearing me talk about the Erotic Coast Film Festival and my film Beyond Dinner winning the award for the best short film. And you've been hearing me talk to all these guests that I met while I was there. And you haven't heard that much about the dinner, although in the show I did with Dr. Ava and Nancy Sutton Pierce, we did talk about what was in my film. I want to let you know that the film is about a ritual dinner that I invented called the Gate Dinner. Gate means beyond in Sanskrit. And it's a very sensual 8-course dinner that starts with the forbidden, starts with dessert, and leads its way back around to other foods. But all the foods in the dinner are very, very sensual, very beautifully prepared, and the presentation is amazing. And in this dinner, aside from everybody projecting themselves through a meditation that I do to their highest self, having had boundary exercises prior, the men rotate around the table and they feed various goddesses, all the goddesses that are around the table. And even if you come there with a partner, the partner lets go, doesn't take things so personally, lets the partner rotate around and have a sensual experience with each person that's participating. In this case, it would be men having a sensual experience with different women and then working their way back to their original partner. If this piques your curiosity and interest, I want to let you know that these dinners are now available to you wherever you are in the United States. And what you need is 20 people who would like to participate, and you can get in touch with me at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com if you'd like to host a dinner like this in your part of the world. I would love to come to your and offer one of these dinners to you and your friends. And I know my chef would love to come too. Also, Antonio Tiggs, who you've heard on the show as well, would love to come and paint your servers. So your servers are all gold or all silver or what have you. So we have a little entourage that would like to come and make this such a memorable event for you. Please get in touch with me if you'd like to hear more about it and talk about the details. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com.
You're listening to Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers. And my guest today is Catherine Clark, who's a registered nurse and a Hippocrates health educator. And she knows so much about food. She knows about all kinds of foods and the chemicals they have in them and the effects they have on the body. So I'm just trying to find out as much as I possibly can from her, because I'm in the business of teaching people about sex and happiness, so I want to know about foods and sex and happiness, the great subject of food. So, Catherine, what else do you have cooked up for us today on your platter? What else is a great aphrodisiac?
Well, you know, I did look up horseradish while we were on break, Lori, and it says it has a 3,000-year-old history as being used as an aphrodisiac, so your intuition is right on there.
I had that feeling. I just had that feeling. It's hot, you know. It's just, and I imagine that's the same thing for jalapenos.
Oh,
you know, just things that cause heat in the body cause heat in the body, and sex causes heat in the body, and so it's a correlation between what you said. You know how certain foods look like certain body parts. We talked last time about bananas and figs and lentil sprouts or mung bean sprouts, some sprouts that look like sperms. So, you know, jalapenos, they probably have a similar effect to horseradish as well. What about, see, now I'm going to ask you this because this, I've never asked anyone this before. This has always been puzzling to me, but since I got you, I'm asking you. You know, the old adage, the best way to a man's heart is through a great meal. And I know for a long time, women who would invite a certain man they were interested in over for dinner and serve him something like a 7-course meal, something ridiculous, like a big, big meal to fill him and show him love. Certainly cooking is a way of showing love. Now, I personally could never enter into a sexual union after a 7-course meal.
Oh.
To me, it's just, I would want to have the meal after. But I know a lot of people who go to dinner, out to dinner, or they invite somebody over and they make them this a many-course meal and then they plan to engage in sexuality. I couldn't see myself doing that. Could you have some take on that?
Yes, Lori. And, you know, that is so common. You go out on a date, you have a big meal, you follow it with dessert, which even compounds the largeness and the heaviness of the meal and the sluggishness, because that really complicates your digestion, adding the sweets onto the anything that you've had.
The main course, right.
Yes, and that really leads to gas and indigestion, and if you've had any wine or alcohol to go with that, that can also make you tired and fatigued. So I agree with you, afterwards would be better, and it would be better to keep it light. Keep it light, you know, maybe do the strawberries and berries and the chocolate. That would be absolutely perfect. Maybe have some rose petal tea with some rose hips and maybe hibiscus. That's very beautiful to go along with that, and it's very light. and beating one another. That's very sexy. But I do have a solution. If you've had a heavy meal and then you'd like to get frisky, using digestive enzymes can really, really be a lifesaver. It can cover a multitude of indigestions. Plant-based digestive enzymes are available in most health food stores. They're simply a combination of amylase, which digests starch, protease, lipase, cellulase, the same enzymes that you have in your stomach and your digestive system. And you want to get a high quality one that also has some minerals in it, maybe supplied by chlorella or spirulina or the wild blue-green algae, because enzymes can only work in the presence of their cofactors, which are minerals. And you can have some enzymes before, during, and after that meal. And within 30 minutes or 60 minutes, you know, maybe on the drive home, you'll be amazed at how that will speed your digestion and improve the efficacy of it, so that less energy will be used by your stomach when you want to be using your energy for lovemaking.
That is one hot tip right there. So tell me how you would do that. So, for example, if people are hearing about digestive enzymes for the first time, how would you recommend that they take it? They would take it after the meal, and how many would they take and like that? Or about, you know, just sort of give us a ballpark.
Yeah, yeah. Well, on simplysuperfood.com, mm-hmm. that's food with no S, that is my website. I have the SBG Zymes Plus listed on there. But any enzymes, as I said, you can take them before you start eating, up to 15 minutes before your meal.
Okay.
Take them as you're eating. Generally, they come in capsules. You can even open the capsule and sprinkle it on your meal if you're a health food person. Or if, oops, you forgot and you take them at the end of the meal. Really, they will work because they get down into your stomach and help digest that food, literally in the same way that your body is going to just adding some extra energy by providing those enzymes that your body needs. And on our last episode, I also talked about chewing. Chew, 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 because digestion begins in the mouth. Amylase, the enzyme that digests sugar and carbohydrates, is secreted in your salivary juices, and so actually chewing is a very important part of digestion, and it will go a lot faster and easier if you chew your food first. And as I said, when you add enzymes, you read on the bottle, see how many enzymes are recommended, and probably I would say, you know, double that, take twice that if you've had a big complicated meal, or if you've had a meat and potatoes or kind of a large meal, and then you'd like to have some warm, fuzzy, cuddly time.
I'm so glad I asked you that. I always wondered about how it was. It made no sense to me whatsoever to fill your stomach up and then take the risk of being gassy or having indigestion or whatever. It never made sense to me, but I just never ask anyone about it. It just seems like people go along with that. So I'm so glad you gave commentary on that, and something really great to do, because I think that most people do it that way. I don't think they think about it like you or I do. What else can you recommend? I'm trying to think of some other ones that I think are just amazing. I mean, my favorite food, just so you know, my favorite food is tomatoes. I have no idea if that has anything to do with anything, but again, it's red and it has seeds inside. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I think it's a great, great food.
Well, generally, when you cut a tomato in half, it does look like the chambers of the heart. It has four chambers. Of course, the heart is red. The color for the heart is red. And so tomatoes would, in the doctrine of signatures, be a food that is nourishing to the heart and to the heart chakra. And I think that our sexual energy tempered through our heart chakra is definitely where we want to go with that, as opposed to just root energy. You want to harmonize all your chakras, which you teach in your courses with your breathing and your breath awareness and fixing your energy up to all the parts of the body so that it's a full body experience once you engage in the sexual activity.
That's great. That's great to know. I mean, really, that is my favorite of all time. Anytime. I eat tomatoes 3 times a day. I mean, I don't, but I could. So that's great. Anything that you had, anything, any other things that you had? Because I mean, I'm monopolizing now by asking you questions about the things I want to know about, but I know you have things, up your sleeve.
I wanted to talk about a very important food that isn't very well known in American society, but once again, going back to the Chinese restaurant or to the Japanese restaurant, they eat a lot of sea vegetables, also known as seaweed. And sea vegetables or seaweed, those are very high in vitamins, especially B1 and B2, which aid in the production of sex hormones. They're also excellent sources of trace minerals such as manganese, iron, selenium, and zinc. And zinc is a mineral that is very important, especially to men, because the testicles need a great deal of zinc. And whenever men do ejaculate, the semen is very, very high in zinc. So zinc is an important mineral for men, but all minerals are very, very important for men and women. They are absolutely essential for every process that happens in every cell of your body, just like water is. Water and minerals are so important. And there's a variety of kinds of seaweed and so many different ways that you can eat them. You know, there's hijiki, arame, wakame, kombu, nori, dolph, and probably a lot of our listeners think I'm speaking a foreign language.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Them. But each one can they're very affordable, especially if you go to an Asian store. Of course, you can find them in health food stores. And each one of them can be easily prepared by rinsing and soaking. And then you can use them in a variety of ways. You can use them by seasoning them up with a little toasted sesame oil, which is when you order the seaweed appetizer in the Japanese restaurant. That's what they put on it, a little toasted sesame oil, maybe the hot spicy sesame oil, some sesame seeds, and you grated carrot in there. When you get the miso soup, those little tiny soft green rectangular bits of veggies floating around, that's wakame. When you order the sushi maki, the rolled up sushi, the black fishy tasting paper on the outside, that's nori.
Recently, they've been selling that in Trader Joe's with wasabi on it, so it's kind of like better than potato chips.
Yummy! Oh, yeah, it's so crunchy.
Yeah.
I get purple dulse. Purple's one of my favorite colors, and dulse is a purple seaweed, and I rinse it to get the extra salt off, and then I put it in my dehydrator, and I know you had that when you visited Hippocrates. Do you remember it? It's just like potato chips.
Yes. Yes, it was excellent.
And
I was very pleased with my whole meal there. It was really great. Although there were no tomatoes.
Yeah, you know, the tomatoes are fruit at Hippocrates. They don't serve them, and they're also in the nightshade family. Actually, people who have arthritic conditions are advised to avoid all nightshades, including tomatoes. But like you, I really love them. And I especially try to get the kind that are called heirloom in the store. These are tomatoes that are with the old seeds that have not been hybridized, like Big Boys and tomatoes that they have bred to be bigger and fatter and plumper and to ride easier to the store.
Oh, that's great. I didn't know that. Thanks for saying that.
You're welcome. Yeah, heirloom tomatoes usually have phenomenal flavor, and they have all varieties. They have a purple Aztec, which, of course, I love. They have yellow ones, red ones, big ones, all the way down to the little small ones that are the kind of round cherry tomatoes or the tiny little pear-shaped tomatoes. All of those can be from heirloom seeds, and heirloom seeds would also be better for your body to recognize and to digest. And tomatoes grow great with seaweed. When I travel, I love to take the sheets of nori, and I will put a little bit of wasabi and miso on there. And then I like to put sprouts and avocado, which is an aphrodisiac food from way back we can think of, and then a little tomato and salt, and I just roll that up and eat it when I'm on the road. That's pretty much my staple.
That is super. This is great, Catherine. We are out of time in this moment, but I am so excited. Every time I speak to you, there is a wealth of knowledge. There's new experiences to have, and then there's reframing the old ones. And I really, really appreciate you for this. I appreciate your knowledge and the way you've put it together. And you make it so simple for us to understand that there's things we can do that are aphrodisiacs every single day in our regular staple foods and then just going a little bit out of our way. And it's great stuff. It's really great stuff. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Lori. Thank you so much. I always enjoy being with you. And it's really a new way of thinking when you start to think about what my food choices can do for my health, for my sex life, for my love life.
Yeah. It's great. So thank you. I will definitely invite you back. We'll share some more time. So be looking for more material because I want to continue to have you on the show and have you telling people about this great stuff. It's like finding your knowledge is like finding something great at a flea market or something. You stumble upon it and you go, oh, look at this. I've been looking for this my whole life. So that's how I feel about it. Thank you. Okay, well, this is Lori Handler signing off with Sex and Happiness. I will be back next time with a sex educator guest who will teach you more about your own sex and happiness. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make-